Our Father and God, set apart thy word according to your wonderful work, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In Proverbs chapter 4, there is a statement made that you probably are familiar with. In verse 23, 4 and 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so we're to go, the believing believer, is to keep, to warn, to guard his heart, her heart, guard it, keep an eye on it, keep watch over it. And in doing so, remember now, keep thy heart with all diligence. So with all diligence, we're going to go and keep our heart. And in the process of doing that, we're going to do so with discipline. We're going to look to God. He's the object. And we're going to go and count on God to help us in every way. For out of it, with all diligence has to do with keeping, keep on, to say keep, the verb keep, and then the word diligence, with all diligence. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Four, with all your heart, not part of your heart. Why? For out of it, or from the heart, are all the issues of life. And the word issues has to do with sources, the going forth, that which comes forth, that which goes forth. In other words, the general living, life lived, comes, word, thought, and deed from the heart. Your whole life comes from your heart. Every thought, word, and deed is coming from the source, the heart. Now, and not to remember, the Bible speaks oodles of times, that's a lot, lots of times about the heart, but only a handful of times, if that, of your physical heart. The heart is the center. God loves with all his heart. But he doesn't have a heart. It means his whole being. Now, the center of his being. Now, having said that, out of it come the issues of life, out of the heart. So we need to know that. Now, over if you would please, to Jeremiah and chapter 17. And in Jeremiah chapter 17... we'll raise the question, if we may, why would anyone choose to be barren, fruitless, and foolish in the light of having everything and all of the benefits? Why would anyone make such a bad decision to go totally negative when everything could be positive and wonderful? Why would you take all the bad instead of the good? That's the question. Why? Why do people do that? And now, back over to chapter 17, we share together in verse 5 and 6, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord, And he shall be like the heath, the little juniper bush in the middle of the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Now, that's the bad part. Now, that's God. His Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, making a bad choice. Why are they making a bad choice when they could easily swing around. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. And then they're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water with all the benefits, the leaves, the fruit, everything, and never, never a problem. Never a drought, never a famine, never anything to disrupt the relationship as you trust God. Nothing to disrupt that relationship anywhere, anyhow. Now, why would you choose the other when God gives you that? That's the question. Now God answers it. Chapter 17 and in verse 9. 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So God, you're going to help us. Why would a person, why would a heart, why would anyone do such a stupid thing and choose such an opposite, terrible, why would they put themselves in that place? It's a heart problem. It's because of your heart. That's the problem. Remember in Psalm 14 in that, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. The fool has said that. Now, in verse 17, chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful, deceitful. And the word deceitful means to intertwine, to mix, to weave together, to weave with cunning, craftiness, in such a way as to bring things together that it gets all twisted up and so wound up in such a way that it is that the problem is you can't solve it. You can't find it. You can't fix it. The thing is inaccessible. Inscrutable, inaccessible. You can't fix it. The heart is such a thing that you can't have access to it. You can't get to it. You can't fix it. You can't fix the heart. You can't even get to it. It's deceitful. Deceitful. And not only is it deceitful, verse 17, chapter 17, verse 9, but it is desperately wicked, desperately wicked, incurable. And the word desperately wicked has to do with being sick, being ill. It's used of an arrow going through the air, in the book of Jude, going through the air and hitting the target, and the arrow sticking in the person, and boy, you can't get it out, and boy, is it painful. You can't get the arrow out. Wow. Desperately, desperately wicked. And thus, very dangerous, sick, morally and mentally incurable. Wow. It can't be fixed. There's no remedy for it. No remedy for the heart. What could we give to you, to me, to fix our heart? Because out of it, every word, every thought, every deed, everything we think and do and want and wish comes out of our heart. No place else. It doesn't come out of your brain. It comes out of your heart. Your brain is something you use. Your mouth is something you use. Your hands are something you use. The heart uses the body. You're not a brain. You're a person inside with a brain. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, to pick up it. And by the way, you'll catch it a little bit over in chapter 17, verse 16, just to see it, the word. As for me, I have not hastened, from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Woeful, desperately wicked, terribly dangerous, no hope to it. I don't wish disaster. I don't wish that, said Jeremiah. Now, a little more to help us, chapter 15. Remember now when we did chapter 15 and that, Jeremiah got down in the dumps, he looked at all the situation, he looked at himself, and he started to evaluate everything based on a purely personal, human, fleshly analysis of life from his own personal thinking, thoughts, fears, etc. Feelings, that's what he did. Now, so when he did that, he went really down. And thus we read together, and Jeremiah is not ashamed to tell you when he went down. Paul is not ashamed to say, in me dwelleth no good thing. They're not ashamed, it's reality. Now, in the light of that, verse 18, 15, 18. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable? There's your word, incurable, wretched, wretched, incurable, which refuseth to be healed. Wilt thou then be altogether unto me as a liar and in waters that fail? Are you going to be like that? Are you going to fail me? And Jeremiah was really down. Now, but, and God, now you know why? He was trusting his heart. And you remember as we did it, verse 19, God cuts him off from any other words. He couldn't say anything else. Cut him off. Shut up, Jeremiah. And then he tells what Jeremiah has to do to get his heart right. It's out of his heart. Why did it happen? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. It is incurable. It is, you can't get in it. You can't manage it. You can't control it. You think you can, but you can't. So, the verse chapter 17. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Wicked. And so it's incurable. So we can't fix the heart, no. Therefore, in verse 9, who can know it? It's a rhetorical question. God knows. God's going to give the answer. I know. No one knows the heart. You can't know your heart. But I know my heart. No, you don't. No, you don't. And we did all of that stuff 100 years ago, remember. And Einstein and all of those different studies that were done used 2% of his brain or something. And so in the process, your brain is an awesome, we just did it the other day, so you carry in your head everything from when you were a little child, every memory, picture, you have it all up here. You have put aside because it keeps piling up. But it's all there. A great big pile of all kinds of things in all kinds of ways, in color to boot. Wow. Now God, that, and we're trying to solve and dissolve it, fix it. But we can't fix it. We can't fix it. It's just one thing after another. One, we've got maybe illustration that would help you. We have 10 5,000-piece puzzles, 10 of them, 5,000 pieces each, in a pile. Do you understand? Are you encouraged to do the puzzle? That's what your brain is. It's each thing comes in, you understand the first grade, you go to second grade, then you pile up that, and you get older, and you pile it all up, and you say it went away. No, it didn't. It's just a pile, another pile, another pile. And so as you go along, you're trying to work out of the pile with the pile to get your life going now and live as an adult. Now, so here in chapter 17, the end of verse 9, who can know it? And of course, the answer is God. God knows it. Now, and so then God is going to say, against God's going to know the heart and no one else is. And remember now, when we think about that, if you would, that your flesh, no flesh shall glory in my presence. And the heart is, I'll use it for time's sake, in me dwelleth no good thing. Romans 7:18. Romans 8:6-8. The flesh cannot ever honor the law, honor rightness. The flesh is impossible for a person to ever do right before God. It can't be done. And the heart gives you a tricks us that it can be done. We'll see that in a second. Now, over if you like, in verse 10, I, the Lord, in the light of God's diagnosis, he's trying to helping Jeremiah and the people and us understand, why don't people ever fix things? Why can they keep going in the wrong direction when everything says warning, disaster, and they keep going down the corridor and there's no concern? They just keep going, because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And it is unsearchable. It's a heart problem. It's an easy thing to see, but it's a heart problem that makes it so. Using our heart, we don't come out right. We don't think right. Now, hang on to that. So now, in the light of that, in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. So God, in the light of our character, human, and our human condition, our self-system, and remember now, of all the different things that deceive us, we can be deceived and tricked consciously, unconsciously, and especially by self, S-E-L-F. Our thinking and reasoning tricks us. And that's our worst enemy. Because we take our mind, and we think we understand, and we think we have it, and we use it. And often, fortunately, it's reasonable. But it never gets untangled and never comes out right. Never works out. When we're all done with it, it ends up what? To say it in a big, in a easy final way, we end up dying. For all of our wisdom and all of our majesty and all of our, we end up dead and dust in the ground. So, obviously, whatever we had planned, it wasn't quite so good. Now, to say the least. Now, in the light of that, I, the Lord, search the heart, and that's what I do. So, now, in the light of searching, in searching to go, and you, why, what's the heart trying to do in its self-system? It's trying to go and satisfy. We want to be satisfied. We want to have enough supply of whatever it is we need. We want to have success in some measure, and we want to survive. Above all else, we want to survive. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and therefore, chapter 17, verse 5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. It isn't going to come out good. So you don't. But that's what we do. Now, in order to see that a little bit, I, the Lord, search the heart, and the heart is the problem. Now, a little way to do that, to see from looking down at the big picture and looking at the different things, over to Deuteronomy, if you would. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, may I go directly for time and context, chapter 11, Deuteronomy, verse 16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. The problem is you're in danger of your heart being deceived. Now, remember now, Israel is here's Moses, God, the Shekinah glory is there, the fire over the tabernacle by day, by night, and the cloud by day, and God's there. And so, if God is trying to help them, if you don't keep watch your heart, you're going to be deceived in the light of everything that's there. You're going to bypass it and choose idolatry, choose darkness, choose death. You're going to choose all the wrong stuff. That's what they do. And they were told that. Now, and they did it. They went and did choose the wrong things. Now, go all the way over to see that. Over to 1 Kings. Remember now, before the division of the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, in the great dedication of Solomon's temple, picking up, if I may, in chapter 8 and in verse 39. Remember now, Solomon's talking to God in the light of all the people before the tabernacle that's just been built. And he's talking to him, so to God. And so he's trying to bring up everything that would represent the people and their needs. And therefore, verse 38, what prayer and supplication whosoever be made by any man, anyone, or by all the people, a person or all of them, Israel shall know every man the plague, there's your word, the plague of his own heart. Now he singles it out. Here's all of you, but every one of you got a problem with your heart. A plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hand towards this house, the temple. Verse 39. Then hear thou, God, you know we have a heart problem, and we have a plague. A heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, Solomon will write later. Now, so we have a plague. Verse 39. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts, plural, of all the children of men. So God, who else knows the heart? God said, I do, and I'm telling you as the chief physician, I'm making a grand, wonderful, awesome diagnosis to help you. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And I'm telling you officially from out of heaven, you got a problem with the heart. The heart's the problem. The heart of the problem is the heart. Now, thus, over if you would, in the light of that, over to Isaiah. Just to see, I'm just bringing out the problems as you turn the pages of history, secular and sacred. The problems are hot problems. They're hot problems. So now, over in Isaiah and chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, picking up if I can, in verse 13. Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear of me is taught by the precepts of men. They have a heart, they talk about me, they do it, but they have no heart. How can that be? Well, we're God, we people, all different religions, talk to God in some form, or as they think about him, as they want to identify him, and they do that. All kinds of people do things. But God said it's from the heart. They don't know their heart. Their heart is far from me. They want me to be honored and worshipped and praised, but they don't know me. They don't know me at all. They got a heart, they got a mouth, but no heart. And without the heart, what good's the mouth? Now, in the light of that, over to Mark and chapter 7. And we'll see the quote from there, that same quote. Mark chapter 7. And picking up, if I may, chapter 7, in verse 6. And he answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, The people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. However in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. So, God, you're telling them, the Jewish people, that they're saying a whole lot of things, but their heart isn't there, because they're putting a difference between what you say and what they think, and how they think, and why they think. And that's what they were doing. That's tradition. That's normal flesh. Jeremiah 17:5, the heart is deceitful, verse 9, but the man, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. And so the person is trusting, and that's why they can do that. How can you do that? God, you say red, and then we say blue. You say go, and then we say stop. God, how can we do that? Easy. We have we honor you, recognizing what you say, and we recognize what we say. And so we recognize you. Now, having said that a little bit while you're here, over in chapter 7, and you would recall, he saith unto them, verse 18, 7 and 18, he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding? Also, do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile them? But coming in from the outside, it can't do it. No, it isn't an outside problem. So if we say, if we're going to sin because we eat 25 gallons of ice cream, you know, in a row, and you do that. No, the ice cream didn't do it. The gluttony maybe, whatever, but not the ice cream. Therefore, verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats and purifying them. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So it's a heart problem. And God tries to say it in 10 different ways for us so that we understand it's a heart problem. And if you're going to use your heart, all by your lonesome, you aren't going to come out. I don't care how you cut the cookie and how you dream up and have the most noble things. You can do all of that, but you're trusting your heart and you're deceived. The minute you trust your heart, you're recognizing the heart is deceitful and you're deceived because you're trusting your heart. And God said, how can you trust your heart, which is untrustworthy? Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Going back now. And letting the believer help us. God said, you put tradition above my word. And you can't do that. So, here we are looking. Psalm 119. May I go directly to verse 129. 129:119, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." The entrance, wide open door. "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." So, God, we're looking at your word, and God, you're telling us, by way of Jeremiah, that you were telling them the heart is deceitful officially. We're reading it, as it was written, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Now, and your word does, and the traditions of men, and our feelings, and our wants, and our desires, our interpretations, they all come from the heart, and the heart is deceitful. That's what it is. And it plays the game, all kinds of games, theological games or other games. We can play them, no question, and spend years of your life battering back and forth. Now, in the light of the light, the word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Go, God, we want to understand, and we need light in order to see. In order to understand, we need light. Go with me, please, to 105. 105, going the other way. "And you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So, God, I want to go forward. Your word is going to give us, A, understanding. B, it's going to give us light so that we can walk in a way that honors you. And as we go one step at a time down the corridor of time, we want to be able to go in the light, and we want to be able to go not looking to the heart. We understand we have a heart, and we aren't trusting our heart. We were told not to trust the heart, and we understand the heart is deceitful. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I'm not going to trust my heart because my heart's going to trick me. It's always going to trick me. Even in the most noble and wonderful way, it can trick you. And you know we did the study 100 years ago also to tell the difference between the peace of God and your peace. Do you know how to differentiate when you feel good about something and when it's of God and when it's of you, not of you? You need to know the difference. We used to ask some people, anyway, do you know how to do that? If you can't distinguish it, how do you know when God's peace and your peace are running something? How do you know the difference? So God, here we are, our heart is deceitful, so we got to be very careful. That's right. Nothing wrong with that. We don't want to get tricked. And we did all that Sunday, 6 o'clock, and that with the angel of light, ministers of righteousness, apostles, false apostles, and all of that. Now, so having said that, over to 112. You did 105. Slide down to 112. "I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." So, God, we're looking, the believing heart, that's all believer, Psalm 119, and exercising, believing in all of its wonderfulness, and he's exercising that. And, God, I need to understand with my heart. I need to understand my heart is not going to do the right thing in the right way, so I ought to understand that. Psalm 119, and in verse 2, blessed, 119:2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Uh-huh, that's what you have to do, with the whole heart. Verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. So, God, I want to be able to do it with my heart. And I understand in the same breath, with my heart I want to do it right. I understand also my heart is deceitful. Therefore, chapter 119, verse 9, whither shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord, let me not wander. from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So remember the tradition. That's what the Lord said. You guys are all wrapped up in your theological thinking and tradition and practice of how you do things. And you don't know my word. You don't know my word. You are ignorant of my word. Wow. So God, here we are, and you would remember, and you know without turning there, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the word is a lamp unto my feet, I'm going to honor the word, as I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, I got an old nature, my heart is terribly, terribly tricky, I can't trust it. Nope, not going to trust it. And I want to be like a tree planted by the river with all the leaves and the fruit and everything. I want to have that kind of consistency, that kind of relationship. And God, I have to understand, the heart is tricky, and therefore I'm going to walk in the light. Thy word giveth light. So as I walk in the light, as thou art in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is continually cleansing me from all sin. I don't want to deceive myself. 1 John 1:8, I don't want to make you, God, a liar. 1:10, I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to do that. So, God, how am I going to get out of this? I can't get rid of my heart. Now, you can get a new heart, a physical heart, you know, and do all kinds of things with hearts. But we aren't talking about a physical heart. We're talking about a person. Now, how do I fix my person? My person is very mixed up. And they say, oh, well, listen, I've got a PhD in soap suds. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. It doesn't matter what you got. Your heart is still the same. Long as you're human, you got the same heart that everyone else does. So you want to be of good cheer and understand, God, you're going to have to go and help us. So now, God, looking to you, and you search the heart, you search the heart in a most wonderful way to help us. So, having said that, and God, you're going to go and do that for me in Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, reins is the word, if you look back there, you don't have to now. When you look back there, I try the reins, I put them to the test. The word reins is a wonderful little word. It means that interior, and in particular, it's translated dual, that means two, kidneys. Your kidneys. I test the inside. I know the whole ball of wax in here. I made you. Remember when they have the animals sacrifice? And they take the kidney, then they make it specifically, take two kidneys from the animal. Take two kidneys and put them out. Wow. God said, I know the heart. I know the heart. I know the heart. So you need to trust me. And I try the reins and examine. I try to examine and test. That's a participle. I keep doing it. I'm testing him, testing in every way, shape and form. I'm doing so. Now, having said that, would you follow with me over, for time's sake, Psalm 26. Since you're in Psalms. And picking up, if I may, in verse 1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, there's your word, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Examine, prove, try, a couple of words are there. My reins, my kidneys, and my heart, try me, verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. So God, we're looking to you, the psalmist is, looking to you to help, to guide, to direct. And God, he wants him, the believing heart, David, wants to have his heart tested. Search me, O God, David will say, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And verse 1, God searches the heart, 139:1. God searches the heart. Now, having said all that, wonderful things, would you go over with me, please, to Proverbs and chapter 3. Proverbs in chapter 3. And in the process, remember God said, why don't they trust? Why don't they trust? The most common thing to do, common sense thing to do, would be trust all the good. But we don't trust the good. And it's clear, wonderful, clear choice. Choose life, don't choose death. Choose blessing, don't choose cursing. We choose cursing and we choose death. Now that's because our heart is deceitful, and we allow it to do what it does, and we're content with it doing what it does, instead of looking to God and His Word. And God calls the shots, doesn't He? God does. So when you're all done, don't have time to do it, but it's an awesome, good thing. When everything is done with your thought and heart and mind, you go by what God said. Go by what God said. But go by what God said. God told you this. This is what I want. I want to know what's your will, God. There it is. But. No, there it is. You want to honor me? Don't trust yourself. And you have to understand that. And therefore, God, how are we going to do that? God, and you know all the wonderful places. God says it over. God, how are we going to overcome a deceitful heart? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 and all that. When you seek me with what? All of your heart. All of your heart. Your heart's deceitful. Look to me. What is this? Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. Don't trust yourself. 7 and 8. Trust God. Trust me with all your heart. Don't trust yourself. That's all. Trust me with all your heart. That's what I want you to do. Understand why we do what we do. And people say they can't understand why they do it. How can they keep doing it? Easy. Unless I have some way to overcome. My heart is going to play the game with me, depending on all culture, background, government, politics, power. All of those things govern how we act, but always with a heart that is not honoring God, which is deceitful and desperately wicked, incurable. So with all our heart, we're going to look to you. So how are we going to win? Now we're going to go and seek you with all our heart. And when we seek you with all our heart, we're going to find you. So God, how am I going to overcome my dumb old nature? I'm going to look to you with all my heart. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust you with all my heart. How am I going to overcome all the dumb thoughts and things and, oh, this is how I feel? It doesn't matter how anyone feels. That's my opinion. Who cares what your opinion is? What's your opinion going to do? Your opinion against 7 billion other opinions. You know, it's just an opinion. I want to know the truth. God, I want to line up with you. The God of truth, in order to know the truth of God. So God, I'm going to seek you with all my heart, and I'll find you. That's pretty easy. Solved. The great physician said, I'm going to give you the diagnosis. You can't fix it. You need to trust me with all your heart. I've condemned your heart to the cross. I died. Now, in closing, Proverbs 3. You know our little word, trust, to hold on to. Hold on to something. Hang on to something. Rely on something. Here, it's a command. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust, T-R-U-S-T, in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And the benefit, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You want to have a healthy body in the sense of all the benefit? Keep your heart right. You want to help your physical heart pumping? Keep your heart right. Keep your heart right. You want to help your physical heart. It'll be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. It's where the life, all the benefits come from, the blood and all of it. Wow! To make you have physical life. Well, so, that's pretty simple. That's your prayer request. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what you're going to do. And you are going to have to sit down. You don't have to help God. You just need to trust him. That's all I remember reading. A page, page, page. Trust me. Trust me. But I'm going to think about it. Well, that's the trouble. You're going to think about it. And the more you think about it, you've got your old deceitful heart thinking about me. And the fool is going to say, oh, finally, in his heart, there is no God. There is no validity in what you've said, God. You didn't mean what you said. He said, yes, I did. Absolutely. The church is way out in Thule land today. But, God didn't change anything. You and I belong to the body, the wonderful body, in Lord Jesus Christ, to be a believer, to belong, to become, to be everything. Wow. God, help me. Anyway, hope you get it.